Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how small is too small. And I'm,
I'm referring
to a real estate deal. Like, you know what? Let's get the this, I knew you just couldn't. You're just waiting.
I saw this title come up. You know what? I wish I would have picked this title because this is good.
Let's get the seventh grade stuff out of the way here.
Okay. Or you're going to call me... what's like your favorite Family Guy or whatever character? What do you want to call me?
I'll think of that. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
In just a few minutes here.
Oh, depending how this goes, you're going to name me? Okay, got it.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Luke asks, I bought a property that's listed under one APN, assessor's parcel number, but it's three physically separated parcels of land. Is there any reason I can't sell each parcel separately? Or would that be subdividing the property?
Oh, that's the whole question?
That's a question.
Do you want me to answer?
Sure.
Yeah, the answer is it depends on the county and call the planning and zoning / assessor / recorder. You're going to get three different answers, but in the end, the assessor is going to make the real call, the call on that question. You know, I've seen people... This is happening in our group in a really positive way a lot because we talk about it on our Thursday call and we talk about it on the show. Subdividing property is maybe one of the most profitable things you can do. Maybe just splitting it. I shouldn't say subdividing it with entitlements. We've launched a website, and it's not launched yet, called Parcel Split, that really helps you do that. So, you know, can you separate it? The answer is call the county, but probably not like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, but some of our people. That's what I told them too. I put in success plan.
What happens?
Call the county, and you may be able to do is, because it's already three separate parcels, and on the legal description, it might be this and this and then this. So all you have to do is have them rewrite the legal descriptions with three separate APNs, and they might do an ABC scenario kind of thing, but you got to ask them. So
you got to ask nice.
Right. I said, of course, it depends. It depends on the county. It may, and some are really easy. Some say no, but there's a really good chance that you can, because our people are doing it.
The history behind this is this. It all started with farming. So all land comes back to farming. So used to be that the farmer had a ton of property and he wanted to peel off, his daughter got married and he wanted to peel off 40 or 80 or 1,000 acres to his son-in-law and his daughter or whatever. And then he'd go to the county and just get a new set of APNs and title the property in their name. And that's how this all kind of started. So while this isn't, we don't typically do it with farmland, we do it with lots of different other types of property and it works incredibly well. Some counties love it and they say, oh yeah, just fill it out. Here's a send us $20 and fill this out and we'll send you the new APNs. And some people think that you're the devil for asking.
You know what's funny about this is it's interesting. A lot of people don't realize that it's not like they all go in order and that the assessor's parcels number is not like this one's number one, number two, number three. It's not like they're always right next to each other. We have had, just like Luke here, we have had properties where it was one APN and there were three different parcels not even touching. One's down the road over there, one's over here, and then a sliver of this over here. Like, what the heck? So it's really kind of funny. So I remember the buyer of those properties, they were usually buying it for one of them.
Yeah.
And the other two were just kind of came along with it, you know, kind of thing. So it's funny how, but it doesn't, there's no rhyme or reason to this. So don't, you're not missing anything here.
Chances are when you see a property like this, they're separate. They used to be separate. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by how, if there's a letter on the end of the APN, stuff like that.
It's true.
You know, because the reverse is true from my farm example. Some people, and there's people in our group who believe this. I'll never understand it. I'm not one of them, but they believe that all together, property the bigger the property, the better in one APN. Why? It, you know, and the reason is because your taxes are lower. Mm-hmm. So that's the conventional wisdom. I did a deal one time where it was a 40-acre property, and somebody subdivided it a long time ago. I could tell by the way it was written, into like 30 properties. And then somebody bought it from them and called the county and said, I really don't want to pay 30 tax bills. Mm-hmm. Please put it all back into one APN. They said, okay, $20, thank you. And then I called them and said, please separate them all again. And they said, okay, $20, thank you. Mm-hmm. So chances are, Luke, when property has already been subdivided and then put back together, there's a really good chance that they're just going to reinstate the old APNs really quickly for
them. That's a good point.
So that's what this sounds like.
It might be all ready to go.
Yeah.
You just have to ask.
This is, and if that's the case, then you should run to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. I'm glad you found this. This is awesome.
It's a good question, Joe.
Yeah.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, were you done?
No, go ahead. I was going to read that line.
Oh. If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, Jill's favorite topic, apparently, because she's 13 still.
Oh, I have a lot to say about this, but nothing relating to land.
Now is the time to put the earmuffs on the kids in the back seat. How small is too small? Today's topic. This is the meat of the show. Go ahead, Jill. Get it out.
No, it's okay. I think I just did. It's all my comments are not land related, so I'll save those.
So, and I mean, how small is a, I don't mean the size of the property or the size of anything else that's going running through Jill's head.
I'm confused.
How small of the deal?
Oh.
Really, how much are you going to net out of this, out of the damn real estate deal, right? And the answer is it's relative. Everybody's deal is different. Michael had a deal a few days ago that we talked about in the question where he's going to clear $1,000, I think, 200% on it, make 200% on his money. Mm-hmm. It was his first completed transaction. You know, so maybe your threshold is $1,000. Ours, personally, is $100,000. We don't get involved in land deals unless we make $100,000. We do a lot less deals these days than we used to. We've done more than 15,000 deals. Mm-hmm. There's a couple members in this group who don't do deals unless they make $1,000,000. And we're putting a new investor group together, and that'll be a similar scenario through parcel splitting, mm-hmm. like Luke said in this question. So what's your, you know, I mean, like Sam Zell or Donald Trump, those guys wouldn't do
that. Was funny. I like that. You and I were talking a little bit before the show when I said, okay, what's this really about? And I like what you brought up. I mean, think about our acquisition. How small is too small is it depends on your criteria and your scenario at that time. Once upon a time for you and I, you know, we would do $500,000 deals
Absolutely.
All day long.
During
and be
the downturn.
Thrilled with that.
Yeah.
And then you get to, okay, now it's 10,000. Now it's 20,000. Now it's 50,000. You just keep going. Because what you and I were talking about is like, think of Donald Trump. What, I mean, he would laugh at our $100,000 deals. That's too small for
right.
him. It's like he's not probably not getting involved until there's $1,000,000 or more.
We try to clear $1,000,000 a year doing land deals with as least amount of work as possible.
Yeah.
And pass down or pass off the other properties, the smaller properties, to our members.
Mm-hmm.
That's what deal board's for.
Right. So how small is too small? I guess you just have it's too small if it doesn't meet your criteria. So you know what? And I know right now, I can think of it too already. There's a number, several people in our community that have deals that they pass on.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning,
yes.
They took them all.
Absolutely.
And now they're
and
like,
that's how you learn.
Uh-huh. They took them all.
If you're brand new, until you get 10 deals under your belt, just double your money on every deal. Mm-hmm. And even if you're doubling $500, mm-hmm. you make the clear $1,000, you got the experience, you got it out of the way, you got some confidence now. Do 10 deals like that, then hit it.
I can think of a woman right now in Central California who now has realized, oh, look at these deals where I make $50,000 at a pop.
Is her name Claire?
Might be. And I heard her say, I'm done with those other ones now. I'm just going to, well, you know what? And now she knows what she's doing.
Claire was like member number 5 for us.
She knows what she's doing. And it's nice because she's at the point now, she's like, well, I could do $50,000 profits or do one $50,000 profit. I only do those couple of those a year. That works for me.
You know, in our criteria, we try to do one deal a month and make $100,000 on it. That's $1.2 million a year. and it's not a lot of work at all. And the bigger the deals, the easier they are. Like Jill says that about flying an airplane. Like, the bigger it is, there's more stuff, more automatic pilot-driven stuff. Mm-hmm. The bigger the deal is, the more people are involved. Like, Title does it, so you don't have to close a deal yourself. And
don't have to worry about any of that. Yeah. Exactly.
So, and if you take on, we're going to do a show next, or this week actually, about why you should never take on any debt, why you should always choose equity over debt. So that just makes it easier with the right partner. Now you're just even, like, I have the right partner. She does the stuff, her name's Jill, and she does the stuff that I don't want to do. That's the truth of it.
And I have the right partner. Her name's Audrey, and she does the stuff I don't want to do.
You sign her paycheck. Awesome.
Exactly.
How do you find her, man?
I know.
She's just she's one of the best employees I've ever seen.
She is.
Ever.
She is.
She has a lot of fun at work. She helps Jill.
Mm-hmm.
She kills Audrey. It.
She's my New Yorker that doesn't live in New York.
Which makes that attitude okay.
It's actually really good.
Because if you have that attitude in New York, a New York attitude,
right,
then you're just I can't say the word.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with an A. But out of the city, it's okay for some reason. Yep. I don't know why.
It's good. All right. So anything else about how small is? I'm trying to think what else. Is there anything that? I don't know. Nothing else to add on that?
If you're a specialist in infill lots, then your criteria is different.
Yeah.
Our criteria for houses used to be 10 grand a unit. That's gone up significantly.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting about this, though? How small is too small? There are times where properties come my way where they're so underpriced. I have to think about it.
I know.
And I will buy them.
Yeah.
So it's funny. Like, we've had deals where this happens all the time. Someone, they're calling me back on a letter that they got, an offer letter. And we always ask, what else do you have? And then here comes something else. And I might, and they're just going to throw it into the package. And I'm like, God, right. That's awful cheap. I really, and this guy's kind of letting this go. But for whatever reason, the guy needs to get rid of it. He needs the cash. So it might not be too small.
I mean, a deal. So we're doing this deal right now. You know, each property we're not going to make 100 grand, but the whole thing we'll mm-hmm. make clear a couple hundred grand.
Right.
So that's what I mean by a deal.
So that's a good point about the how small is too small. This is one transaction. The ones we're buying are like 91 properties. So we're not going to make 100,000 on 91 properties. Wouldn't that be nice? Not this time.
Yeah, we are.
No, I mean individually.
Oh, no. No, not individually.
Yeah. So there's, but the reason we're doing it is because the work is really easy once you get it down. So that's super easy. But I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, it's just, no, I mean, we're deconstructing the sentence even further, which is always good.
Right.
What do we really mean by small is too small? You know?
Stick to your criteria.
I think that's
my thing.
That's the whole takeaway.
Stick to your, and because it's too easy to be distracted.
Yep.
Don't, especially when, you know what? Not even when you're starting out. At any point in your career, Jack and I have this conversation still to this day. Deals will come to me. Deals will come to him. Yeah. I get a little sidetracked. He gets a little sidetracked. And then we both have to go, wait a minute. Why are we even talking about this? This doesn't meet our criteria. You know? And that's it. So no matter where you are in your career, stick to your criteria. And that's it.
I have there's a section in the cash flow from land program where I say, keep a bottle of Maalox, keep a bottle of Pepto-Bismol on your desk. Because when you buy a 40-acre property for $4,000 and you sell it for $8,000, because I say in the beginning, you just double your money, don't get greedy. Just speed's the key. And you know the property's worth $20,000 if you just wait 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, man. Then now you got, what you're doing is wholesaling property now, not retailing it, and you have buyers for life.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It does hurt a little bit.
It hurts.
I've heard our members go, God. Oh man, I just sold it. And this guy called me a week later and he wanted to offer me double.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't think about it. Don't look back. Go. Just go. There'll be way more like that. It's okay.
I told this girl, she's my girlfriend, and a week later this hot girl called me, and gosh, I jumped the gun.
Whatever. We want to get back to how small is too small, Jack?
Hey, I can make that smaller with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
If you're going to behave that way.
Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
And inspiration. And thank goodness you cut that off there. That's me.
We use it every day with a pair of gardening shears to buy property for half of what it's worth.
That's awful.
And sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
You might be alone. You're going to be alone in your real estate ambition in this house. Show your crack up, you know that?
That's funny.
That was good stuff, though.
It was good.
It
like
turned out to be a good show. I thought it was going to be not, you know, just a joking around show.
It's fun when I don't know what the topic is until I come in and I sit down in our studio and I go, what?
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.